DJ Event Planner will change the way you manage and run your business. Streamline all of your procedures and software into one easy-to-manage system. DJ Event Planner, the ultimate online planning tool.
Literally on the other side. Oh, somebody grabbed it in the house, so that'll be great. Hey, we're live. It's evening. It's Tuesday. It's Hi. Brian Redd and John Young. Good evening.
Hello. Good evening.
We're here.
We are.
And we're gonna talk shop tonight. We're gonna talk entertaining tonight. We're gonna talk things that will help and hopefully help you in your business tonight.
Right, but what I want to talk about tonight, what I'd like to talk about tonight actually, is more application than equipment or whatever. I want to talk about performance and application to that.
That is what we are going to hit on tonight.
It's what I want to do.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. It'll be fun.
If you don't mind, I'd like to do it.
Awesome. So, for those of you watching out on Facebook, thank you for watching. I did not put the link in, so you guys are not able to. I'll put that into the post on Facebook, and I'll pin that on Facebook so you guys can bump up. Facebook's been really sketchy tonight. With the first show tonight, it did not. It was you had to refresh like 17 different times. So the pinned comment, if you're watching on Facebook, is where the YouTube show is. YouTube, I think, was pretty strong for the first show tonight, even though we were from MSP with the cell phone. We are good to go.
So it was 80 degrees in Milwaukee today. Oh,
beautiful.
Well, it was 82 or 83. And I'm rewarding myself with the Mexican Coke here, replenishing the fluids because I was working outside. So yeah, we've been behaving ourselves with juice and coffee and things, but we're going to go ahead and have a little fun tonight with some soda.
Hitting the hard stuff. That's the crazy life.
Soda.
That's the crazy life Brian Redd lives.
Yeah, this is about as crazy as it gets right here. This is the madness of me.
It isn't cool. So, man, you're hitting that hard stuff. So to kind of set the stage for tonight, now, Brian, you did a video of, goodness, it was about a week ago, I think, somewhere in that ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of bring us up to speed on what was the background on the video, why you put that one together.
Well, somebody had messaged me, if I remember correctly, how this all started. Someone asked me if they thought that a mixer was a good way to kick off the dance floor for the evening. And I suggested that, yeah, it could be. And there's no right or wrong on this. Please just take that right away. I don't want to preach here and tell you how you should do things. I'm just simply offering some suggestions on how you could do things.
Mm-hmm.
You could do a mixer. You could do that. If you've never done a mixer before, it's a little involved. You have to get women onto the dance floor into a circle. Then you have to call the guys out, which is like pulling teeth sometimes. And you basically have random people dance with others. I used to do that a lot. Go ahead.
And you're referring to, in that case, like a snowball dance? Is that what you're kind of describing for us?
It's a little bit like a snowball dance. Mixer thing, I don't know if it's a Milwaukee thing, but basically what it is, you get all the women on the dance floor, have them get in a circle. Then you have all the guys come out and stand behind any woman at all. It doesn't matter who. And what we do is, and the bands did this. I don't know if it's a polka thing or what, but they'd play like a theme song kind of thing, like a walking song. Use like the Peter Gunn theme. Mm-hmm. Girls circle to the right, guys circle to the left. When the song stops, you stop and face your partner of the opposite sex, whoever that might be. And sometimes you do a slow song. Sometimes you do a polka. Sometimes you do a disco song. It doesn't matter what you do, but you keep getting them back in the circle. And, you know, you only play like a quarter of the song, I guess. Like intro, verse, chorus, cut back into the theme song, get back in your circle. So it's a cool thing. And what I used to do a lot, this is how we used to do it. We would do a mixer within, I would say, the first half hour or so of the opening of the dance. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I would end up at a gig where I would play a few songs, The Twist, Rock Around the Clock, whatever. If I didn't get a response, I would go right into the mixer. And what that did was introduced strangers to others. So let's say that you and Lori go to a wedding. You don't know anyone at all. You get involved with this mixer. You've met three people that you wouldn't have known. She's met three people that she wouldn't have known. And maybe afterwards, you pair up in couples and get to know each other. Oh, yeah, my husband's a DJ, too. Oh, yeah, well, you should be my husband. That kind of thing, you know.
You do realize, though, in this little analogy that you put together, you're talking about we have six children. If we're there by ourselves and nobody knows us, we're probably going to be dirty dancing or something so bad that no one will want to get close to it. I'm just saying.
Right, right.
But, you know, in most people's situations.
Yeah, right. But that's kind of the whole thing. It's a cool thing to do. But I don't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. I stayed away from it for a couple of different reasons that I won't even get into. I'm doing something very different.
Sure.
And part of what I'm doing is a slow song immediately following whatever the last formality is I have to do. Typically, people want to do either their first dance. Sometimes they do the first dance before dinner. And then other times they do it after dinner. Regardless, it's like a first dance. Then right behind that's the father, daughter, mother, son. Typically, yep. That's how we're doing it now, getting everything out of the way immediately.
Yep.
And then it's open dancing. So what I'm doing is as soon as the last formal song is over, I'm putting on a slow song that everyone knows. And I'm saying something very specific, and it's not an accident. What I say on the microphone is simply, John and Lori would like to invite everyone onto the dance floor.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And I play the slow song. Something familiar that everybody knows, doesn't matter what it is. And then immediately following that slow song, I play a song they don't expect me to play, but that everyone knows. Kind of like I'm going to give them my best joke right away. I'm not going to wait until later on to do my best joke. I'm Lynyrd Skynyrd, and I'm playing Freebird for the first song. This is what's happening. It's exactly what I'm doing. But if I have to go back and talk about this a little bit, when I say John and Lori would like everyone to join them on the dance floor, there's a reason I say that. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about me asking anyone to do anything at all. I'm putting it on the bride and groom.
Yep.
I don't care what you do, but John and Lori would like everyone to come out onto the dance floor. It's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's about what they want. They want you to come out here. That means something.
Mm-hmm.
Because at this point of the evening, who am I? I'm the mobile wedding DJ that maybe some people know because I've spoke to him, but a lot of people don't. I have also not made it the me show where I've repeated my name 8 times and I've done the big ladies and gentlemen, welcome to, I haven't done that. Because it's not about me right now. It's about the client.
Yep.
And I've tried to put everything on the client. I've made announcements, but I haven't made colorful announcements. Is that a good way to put it? I haven't sold it like on the mic, like the radio guy, like the commercial, like the announcer. I haven't done that.
Sure.
Intentionally, because it's not the me show. It's the John and Lori show. Mm-hmm. And I'm only saying things to draw attention to John and Lori.
Yeah.
This is something that I, believe it or not, I picked this up doing Latin dance. And I'll explain a little bit. When you, and it's probably the same thing with any social ballroom dance, but the man's purpose when it comes to formal dance is to make the lady look great. It's not about him showing off about his dancing ability. It's about him making her look fantastic. He leads her, but he leads her the right way. And I thought, wow, you know, this is pretty cool. How about if I did that with my client? If I led my client properly, it wouldn't be about me showboating about how good of a dancer I am. Well, I can dance, but it is about making them look great, not about me anything. So that's why I do that, because they don't know me yet. I'm nobody. I am not in a position to command them yet. However, John and Lori invited them here. They all know John and Lori. They're in a position to command these folks.
Oh, yes.
And that's why I put it on. There's psychology to this.
Oh, there is. There's a lot of it.
And I find this so interesting. I don't know how many people do this, but I don't see it often. And there's, like I said, there's no right or wrong here. This is just an idea or another way that maybe you could think about doing some of these, intros or even opening your dance floor. Now, when I opened that dance floor with that song I talked about that they didn't expect, Lynyrd Skynyrd starting with Freebird. Pharrell, he's got a concert going on. The first song Pharrell's going to play is Happy. Where's he going to go from there? Really?
Mm-hmm.
He's got nowhere to go. He's really putting himself out there. So I do that with my tracks. And it blows people away. They don't see it coming.
Mm-hmm.
They get excited. I've already got a full dance floor, because when I say John and Lori would like to invite everybody to come out, they come out. People do come out for
that. Oh, for sure.
It's a full dance floor. And then, wow, where did that come from? All the lights come on. I turn it up enough where they can feel it. And my dance floor is packed immediately. I tell my photographers early in the evening, they go, oh, well, we got to go home at 9:30. We're only contracted till 9:30. I say, don't worry. Be ready after the first slow song that I play for everybody. You'll have plenty of opportunities to get crowd shots. Trust me, just be ready to go. And like, yeah, whatever, dude. And then it happens like, wow, I got all my shots.
Yes.
Like, yeah, of course you did. I told you you were going to get all your shots. There's your full dance floor. There's the stuff that you show your client when they're going through the pictures. And of course, you want to keep it going and follow it up. And you're challenging yourself because you've started with such a strong song. You have to really challenge yourself as a music programmer to follow up with songs that are going to complement that first song. It really pushes you to be a better DJ by doing that.
Yeah, certainly does. And that's really the direction I've been following with my weddings. Also, it used to be that, you know, that we'd treat that first 45 minutes as kind of a throwaway time.
Right.
And that you just don't do that anymore. And there's a variety of different reasons. You know, in my situation, and I'm finding that I've got that 8 hour, and I probably talked about it here before, is there the 8 hour rule that people, our mind is kind of set for an 8 hour work day. So from the time that ceremony starts, the clock starts ticking, and they get to about 7 to 8 hours in to the day. That's when we get a lot more of this. Oh yeah, look, we should be getting going. Which if it's a 2 o'clock ceremony, that means 8 hour puts you at 10 o'clock. So we want to try to have things done and such by 10. So instead of saving the YMCA or whatever that killer song, instead of saving those things, let's go. Let's get that party cranked up right away. And
right now. Yeah.
And engage the kids. I like when you mentioned the asking the guests to come on out and you know that the couple would like to have them out on the dance floor. I do the same thing with my show, but I always think to myself that this is that Lutheran mother who is using that she's kind of guilting them into it. You know, that passive aggressiveness.
Yeah.
Yes,
my mom. Yeah, my
you know, it's does. Like you know I really don't care what you do, but you know, the couple would like you to dance, but you know, you can do whatever you want and I'll still love you, but the couple.
Yeah, my mother's Lutheran. That's hilarious. That is exactly what my mother would do.
You know, they did spend $50 a plate to feed you tonight, but okay, you can just sit at the table. That's fine.
It works though. It works.
It works wonderfully. And many of the times I will come out of the specialty dances and I will make sure that the bride and groom stay close and together. And I'll have, John would come on out and join your bride on the dance floor. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your time to join them on the floor because they would love to share this slow dance with you.
Right.
And they're like, oh, well, we got to go because it's there.
Gotta go.
And then you have a dance floor of guests. And somebody had mentioned the taking pictures early. Many of you probably have seen DJs who at the end of the night like to take that picture of everyone where they're all sloppy and messy and such. And I have had a couple of instances where I've had the extended family there, and we've used that as the song is winding down, that I get the photographer up as high as they can be, and now everybody turn to the photographer and say, you know, we love you, da, 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 that kind of a thing.
Right.
It has given a decent photo op. The problem with that is that is tough to come out of. Because you can hit them with a great song after that, and you will have people skedaddle, whereas if you can go and blend out of that slow song into that. But that picture is a photographer's dream picture, because they love that picture, and that's one that the bride will be like, this is the photo that our DJ set up for us. Isn't this awesome? So
right. That's what they're going to remember, the good stuff.
Yeah, you're right. Kind of, you know, okay, I'm risking my dance floor, but I'm going to get a photo that's going to be incredible, because now grandma and grandpa are still here. Aunt Fred and Betty and Uncle Fred are still there, and mom and dads are both there. You know, everyone's there in that picture, whereas at the end of the night, maybe not so much.
I did the gig log that I did for the last wedding that I did at that coffee shop. I got the video camera rolling when I did that thing, and I approach it a little different than a lot of people do. What I'm not doing is setting it up. What I'm doing is very spontaneous. They're dancing already. Here's the photographer. Let's do it right now.
Yep.
In fact, they were doing the Cupid shuffle or something. So I was waiting for them to turn to face me. Mm-hmm. And that's when I said it. And that's when they went nuts and they were all lined up. And it's the still shot on, I think it might be the still shot on the video on YouTube or on Facebook. I don't remember which. It just ended up being that.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have to set it up. I just waited for the dance floor to be full. It's like, okay, it's already full. I'm not going to, it's right in the middle of the song. I'm not going to take your time. Just, hey, everybody wave to the photographer. Yeah, click, done. Done. I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to do any setup. It was already set up for me. So that worked well. That works well to do it in that way, if you can. If you can.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Whenever the dance floor is packed. And the photographer happens to be right there. Yeah. So but one other thing I wanted to mention a lot of things actually, but one thing I did want to mention, how's that sound? One of the reasons, again, this is all psychology. Another one of the reasons that I've decided to go rather generic with anything that I do up until open dancing, as far as my announcements go and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's because in the old days, I think that my crowd wanted an entertainer. They wanted somebody to go up and, you know, put on a clown suit and do what we do. That's what they wanted. The clown wedding.
Yes.
Today, it's different because it's the everyone show. Everyone wants to be on the microphone. The best man in maid of honor is going to go on forever. They tell you that it's 2-3 minutes. And it's 15 sometimes.
Oh, and they're doing a full monologue up there.
I remember when we met for the very first time and we were in gymnastics and then we went to college. And then that one time we went to that party and it just.
I had one of those, and a gal, she was half in a bag already. And she had her cell phone out and she was pulling up. And then there, I got a picture of it up in front of her room trying to show a cell phone. It's like,
right.
It's like. Oh my goodness. But yeah, this is that new generation that basically it's I'm going to talk about my experiences. Like, my experiences are the most incredible things that have ever happened to anyone in the world.
They're very confident.
And exactly. So you're going to want to hear what I have to say because, well, I'm saying it. So it has to be incredible. And oh, by the
way, I think it's a lot of it's the school thing. I mean, when I was a kid, I was embarrassed to sing in school, partly because I thought the songs were very lame. I mean, I was in the top 40 in disco and rock and roll, even as a little bitty guy. And what am I going to sing about a spider for, or about a train, or this is stupid. I'm not singing this, but no, so I wasn't a singer. I didn't want to perform, but if I did perform, it certainly wouldn't be to that. So it just became like this thing where I don't sing. I just don't do it. I don't karaoke. I don't, you know, none of that. On the occasions that I've gone to church, I don't sing there either. I just stand there. I'm not going to sing this. I just don't. So the new generation, it's all sing stuff. I remember when I was a teenager, all these Disney sing-along songs thing came up, like the videotapes and all this.
Yeah.
That was a big thing. And the kids would stand there and sing and have no shame about it and no quirks about it. So they're confident. They've been performing like this their whole lives. They don't mind getting on a microphone. They don't mind standing in front of people. They feel like that whatever they have to say has to be special. And that's, I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying that seems to be the mindset. Cool. I'm going to let everybody else have the floor. Everybody can have it. Because if I'm battling for dominance, I might lose.
Yeah.
I might be challenged. I might be challenged by the best man, or I might be challenged by the maid of honor, or the dad, or whoever wants the microphone during dinner. So I've realized this, and I've come to the conclusion that, you know what? No, we're just going to perform it. We're going to provide a service here. And I'm going to do it as professional as I can. And I'm going to speak clearly on the microphone, and they're going to hear me. And I'm going to use the right voice, but I'm not going to be commanding anybody's attention so much. I'm just going to make the announcements and make sure the things happen.
I think really we're moving back into the role of a director. And when we first started, I used to really emphasize this in our sales, is that my job at that time was just to direct things. I was behind the scenes. It's like a good movie. Yes, if you know enough about movies, you're going to say, wow, that was a great director. But most of the time, a good movie, you're going to be like, wow, that lead actor was great. You're not going to talk about the director. But the director's a big reason why it was as successful as it was. That was my role. But then we, as you said, we changed over and we became more of a personality for a period of time. And we became more of that out front, leading the charge, per se. And I think we're kind of making that transition back in the wedding realm where I'm now back to being the director, but now I've got 10 to maybe 20 stars in our show, and I have, you know, obviously I've got my main performers, lead actors, but I have this whole entourage of secondary actors that need some time.
Right. No, exactly. So I'm going to give it to them the reason I'm going to give it to them is because, and I'm not an attention guy. I don't care if you watch me or not. I don't care if you're paying attention to me or not, really. But if I'm going to command attention, which I can do, it's going to be during the dance part. When all the formalities are over and it's time to get people to dance, they're not going to know what hit them either. And that's what's so cool about it. It almost becomes an under-promise, over-delivery thing.
Very much so.
Because I'm just facilitating this. Like, I'm just directing it. I'm not particularly entertaining. I'm just directing everything. Personally, I'm not entertaining. I'm playing the right music and all that, and I'm making sure things happen. But I'm not putting on a hat and cane and doing a little dance yet. After the first song, I hit them with something else that's really hot before they can even ask for it. If I can give people things before they can request it, I've won. If I can read that crowd and know for a fact that they're going to want to hear, you know, whatever, the new Pitbull song, this is going to be the hot track. I'm going to play it right, like in the first 15, 20 minutes before they can ask for it. If I can manage to do that, what I've done is I've earned their trust. I now have cred with them. So they're going to look at me and say, you know what? This guy gets us. Whatever he does, I'm going to follow him because he's onto something here. That's when I can start taking creative liberties with my sets and the things that I say, because immediately I will start making bolder announcements. And I don't do the showy announcements. I've talked about this before. My stuff is more taken anymore from stand-up comedy than it is from, you know, wrestling announcers. A lot of people do the wrestling announcers and they love it and that's what they like, and that's cool as sports announcers. I'm doing a little different. But I'm definitely just jumping right into that. Like I had commanded them all along. It's my turn. Mm-hmm. And it's only my turn because it's my job to entertain you and make sure you're, well, let me rephrase that. It's my job to make sure you're entertained.
Yes. I was going to say, we've really become playing the role of the facilitator.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, is a change from what we did 10 years ago.
Right. Very much. You know, again, and I can't, to I guess, wrap it up or paraphrase the whole thing. It's don't make it the me show. Try not to make this the me show, especially early in the evening, because there are 20 other me's who want to have the floor.
Oh, yes.
Don't upstage anybody. Play it down. Do it right. Play it down and let everybody else shine for a minute. Once it's all over, it's your turn. Have some fun. And command and win their trust immediately with those hot, hot tracks, whatever they are. Whatever you feel like the crowd's going to respond well to. And that's all up to your artistic interpretation. There's no right or wrong on this. You do whatever you feel like is the best thing to do for your audience.
Brian, Audioflow here mentioned a music agenda is a must. You will know what they want to hear. I would question that a little bit, because there's so many times where we're sitting with a couple and talking about music, and they have a list of 20, 10, 15, whatever songs. And you start asking questions about the song, because you're looking at it, it's like, okay, that's not a bad list, but you know, there's some unusual songs. And asking them why, is there a significance to this song? Because if there is, I want to make sure I'm setting it up properly, is how I phrase that when I'm questioning music a little bit. And you find out that, well, we were trying to find songs we think will appeal to our guests. So there's really no actual meaning to this song for the couple, mm-hmm. but they're making this list because they think there might be a guest who would like to listen to a 70s song, and this is a 70s song they came up with. Mm-hmm. Well, as a DJ, we know there's probably 15, 70 songs that are way better than that for doing what they right. want to do.
But, yeah.
So you know, audio, I understand what you're saying, and that's really why I've gotten down to, I want a list of a few must plays, and then we go from there, because there's so many times that they're putting songs on there that they really could, you know, yeah, you play it or you don't play it, it doesn't matter. And there's times where there's songs that they want wouldn't quite work as well. I can give you, you know, your results with that song will be, eh. But if we do this set and use some different songs, you're going to have, you know, 5-10 times the results from the guests in which you're wanting to reach at that moment.
Right.
Which is kind of why you're hiring us, because that's what we should know as music programmers.
I was having this conversation with a friend of mine today. He was talking about the music lists and things. And I said, this is how I handle it now. When I'm meeting with a client, I'm talking to him. One of the first things that I tell them is, look, and I've said this on the show before, I've said it in videos, the hardest part of what I do is dinner. It's mm-hmm. the hardest part. Now, that's me. There may be DJs out there who find dinner very easy. But for me, it's difficult because I'm directing amateurs and I'm trying to make it look good and I'm trying to make things happen at a certain time that I have no control of, like what time dinner starts.
Yes.
And what time the bar opens or what time the hot air balloon lands or whatever the hell's going on that night. I have to make sure that stuff happens on time. Mm-hmm. I got to pay attention to what everybody's doing. I got to pay attention to people's intoxication levels. I've got to do a lot of things. That's the hard part. Once it's time to dance, I gotcha. That's not hard for me. Making a mixed crowd get up and have a good time, if you allow me some artistic license on this, I'm going to be able to do it for you very easily. So let me get you through dinner. As far as your playlist goes, this is what I want to know.
Yep.
If you've got some songs that you have to hear because they're very, very important. Alternately, if you have some songs that you don't want to hear because you were married before and this was your song for your first marriage, or this was a song you were listening to when your dog died or whatever. Let me know what those songs are. Those are the don't plays I want to know about. The ones that you really don't want me to play for a specific reason.
Yep.
As far as what you like, give me a sampling. You don't have to list every song. If you tell me you like Kesha, I can assume that you also like Katy Perry.
Yep.
And if you like LMFAO, I can assume you kind of like Pitbull too. I get that. You don't have to give me specific songs. Give me a cross section of 12 to 15 songs. Go 20 if you want. I don't care. Of the stuff that you like, and I'll fill in the blanks. And they usually, anymore, I don't know what's changed in the last year or two, but anymore they've been saying, hey, cool, I really like that. For a long time, they didn't like that. They wanted to treat me like an iPod. Now, I feel like they're giving me a little more faith and letting me do what I do. And I'm happier as a DJ. I feel more fulfilled, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like a whore, quite frankly, because I did for a while. I did. I felt like whore. I was out there just, hey, what do you want me to do? Okay, I'll do that. It had nothing to do with what I did well or, you know, what I felt like I could bring to the table. It had everything to do with this a la carte thing that they were asking for. And it didn't turn me on.
Yeah.
And I don't think that it was even a great product for the client. Mm-hmm. So it's just refreshing that now it's flipping. The script's being flipped again, where they're letting me do things and they're allowing me that artistic license for some reason. I don't know why, but they are. But yeah, this is all good stuff. There's always a reason we're playing a track. There's a reason I put every song on. I don't put a song on just, you know, and I'll be honest, you know, like I'm going to lie. I'll be honest, is the dumbest thing anybody's ever said. I apologize. I'll be candid. There How's that?
That sounds better.
I like that better too.
Yeah, exactly. Because honest, you.
I'll be candid. I have been taking some risks at my weddings lately.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't done that for a very, very long time. But I'm confident enough where I feel like I can do that again. Because I've taken people and I've won them over in that first set. And after I've got them, like I said earlier, I can kind of do what I want. So I can go ahead and take some artistic license and try some things that aren't particularly sure things. I'm not confident this is going to work. I don't know 100% that this is going to be great. Hmm. I had one at my last gig. I've been dying to play this song. I'm not even kidding you. For over 30 years at an event. Because when I first started DJing, it was the song I think I might have played. Might have been the second or third song I ever played as a DJ. First song I ever played as a DJ was The Confessor by Joe Walsh. But shortly after that, I played another song. And it was just because of what I had in front of me. I played it at the wedding I did 2 weeks ago. And I was so nervous. I was so nervous. Like, I felt it in the pit of my stomach. Oh, my God. Because I had him at a peak. Mm-hmm. And the next song was going to be the... So I set it up to be amazing. And if it sucked, it was really going to suck. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go by George Michael. Or really? By Wham. Yeah. Wow. I haven't played over 30 years. And I was freaking out because they had said, like, you know, the requests, I asked for general things. We like Prince. We like Bowie. We like George Michael. So everybody who died, we like, you know. So I did a lot of dead people stuff. I even did Freddie Mercury. Did Crazy Little Thing Called Love. Did really well. And he's been dead for a long time, but still he's dead. I did a lot of dead people stuff. And but no Michael Jackson. Actually, Michael Jackson we didn't do. But it was the... they didn't want Michael Jackson at all, which is odd. Jackson 5, but not Michael Jackson.
Hmm.
It really... That Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go, I set it upright. And I think only because I set it upright, it went well. I couldn't have just played that for the first song. I couldn't have just thrown it in anywhere. I had to set it up. And even though I felt like I did everything I could do to set it up, I was so nervous putting that on. I was so nervous.
And that's surprising because I think I probably play that even today two or three times a year at least.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I've never had anyone ask for it.
It's a great tune.
It's a great song. And if you watch the video, the way they're dancing in the video is priceless.
Oh, yeah.
Because they changed up the entire way they dance for this song, which was so much fun. And these kids were born after that song came out, I'm sure. So this would be like me listening to, I don't know, some Temptation song or something. It's just before my time. But they took it.
Just following the chat here, we've got some folks on Facebook. Thank you, Tyrone and Andrew. Andrew, I think, is coming to us. It's 3 a.m. wherever Andrew is. I don't remember where he said he was coming to us from. If it was...
Thanks for joining us.
Belfast.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Thank you guys for joining us on Facebook Live tonight. And, of course, we've got our crew on YouTube. Thank you guys for being with us this evening.
We have Howie as always. We always have Howie.
Howie is a rock star.
He is our, and Robin.
Yep, Robin and Robin. Brandon just bounced in. Robin is giving you a little guff there, Brandon. No big deal. He's just having a little fun. It's probably a little after the Ben Stowe episode tonight. She's probably still a little crazy from that.
Yeah, I'm doing more, I guess, theory tonight. This is, and again, I'm not trying to preach to anybody. I never want to do that. All I am doing is just throwing some stuff out there that is working well for me. And candid here, it's very difficult to always articulate this and explain what you're doing to people. So when I get epiphanies on this and think, hey, I got a great way to explain this, I want to share. Because it's hard. It's hard to tell people how you do things sometimes. You just do them.
Oh, for sure. And the reason why, sometimes it's tough to put in words why I just did the announcement that way or why I did the segue of these two songs, but instead of going a tight mix, I did a slow fade and then went into it. Why? Right. Well, sometimes it's just a feeling that we've developed over 10 years, 5 years.
Exactly.
Those last 2 weeks I've been DJing.
Right. No, but it's very much a feeling. It's something that you just either feel or you don't. And when you throw those tracks up there, you know, that you're not sure about. I do that a lot when I'm doing clubs or parties or, you know, who cares stuff. But when I've got a packed dance floor, a wedding, it's peak evening, I'm having a great time, everybody's having a nice time. Wow, you know, I really felt like I was taking a chance. And maybe that was just me overthinking it. And I probably do overthink everything I do when I'm DJing.
Oh, and I to a point that we almost, there's a level of thinking of what we're doing. And then the playing on the gut feeling. And this is where that really was kind of pounded into me a little bit is back when we were doing the bar show in the early 90s. There were nights, and I've mentioned this before, we drank a little bit during those bar shows.
Yeah.
And it became one of those things that you were playing more off the gut feeling, which was obviously inhibited, you're being interfered with the alcohol. And there were times where we'd go in directions and such, and you're like, after it was like, what in the world did I do that for? You know, thinking about it the next day.
Because
it's like, wait, so... I can see today in many ways because there's a method to the madness. There's a thing I want to do. Maybe it's to the point where we mentioned, you know, the stars of the show. Well, there's different times of the night that I want to highlight different actors in my performance. And maybe I know that grandma and grandpa are going to be leaving here at 9 o'clock. It's 8 o'clock. And I want to do something about 8:15, 8:20 to highlight grandma and grandpa. Well, in order to do that, I know that I need to set this up with these songs. I need to get them to this point in time so that I can do this. And then I can I'm going to be playing their song that they loved this song and this is going to be theirs. Whatever it is. But there's got to be an intellectual process to get where I need to go. And then I start doing that and it's like, wait a second. Look at the way the crowd's responding to this song. I should put in a different song right here to do this little thing. So it's a combination of the intellectual side and the gut feeling side.
Yeah, very much.
Indeed.
It's so different now, John. I mean, we have unlimited access to any song we want.
Yeah, I was thinking. I watched the when you're talking about mixing vinyl at a wedding.
Yeah,
and I was thinking back, you know, to the early days when it's like, oh, you'd like a country song? Great. Would you like Nitty Gritty Dirt Band's Greatest Hits, or would you like Oak Ridge Boys' Greatest Hits?
which one?
Yeah, no, you'd like the third track on that. Great.
This is the one you're gonna get. Yeah.
Hey, it was a good weekend. Columbia just sent me Sawyer Brown's Greatest Hits. Yeah.
Hey, you got any rock and roll? Yeah, how about some Eurythmics? Sure.
Exactly. Like, would you like the best of the 80s, you know, volume one, or best of the 80s volume two?
What I Lied to has some guitar in it. Let's do that one. It's danceable.
What? Isn't Voices Carry? Doesn't that go over at every dance? I've got it on the CD. It must.
What I Lied to was surprisingly good. I did that in the same set that I did AC/DC. If you've never played that song by the Eurythmics, people know it. And it's a rocker. It's like a rocking Eurythmics tune. Try it sometime.
What I've been doing, a lot of you have watched the shows where MJ has been walking us through mixing and doing some different things with Virtual DJ. And what I've been doing the last couple of weeks with Proms, I've been doing more mixing on either a 16-beat stanza or a 32-beat, going into a song for either 16 or 32 beats and getting out of it. And that's something I really want to look at for this summer, taking a song that has a good hook on it, a good hook in the song, and only doing 32 beats of it. Get into it, 32 beats, out of it into something
quick
else.
Mix.
A quick mix. And I'm really looking forward to doing that at a couple of weddings this summer.
My recommendation is don't worry about 32 beats. My recommendation is worrying about hot intro hook, verse, chorus, and get out.
Yep, exactly.
Don't worry about how many beats you're playing. It just make that happen, however you can make that happen best.
Yeah, precisely. And that's the idea. And the reason I mentioned specifically either a 16 or 32 beat is when we were setting up the phrasing of music, of course, and we've talked about this in different shows, is that I don't want to have it so that the music is set up in a lot of pop music. It's set up so it works on 16 beat. I don't want to have it so that I'm into that, you know, I'm in, you know, the second major or third major when I should be matching up the first major of a set of 16 beats. And that, because that makes, yes, okay, so I'm on beat, but yet it doesn't sound like a good mix because I'm not getting to the end of phrasing to start up the next phrasing properly.
You know, some of the really good tools to do that with were, I mean, if you're in promo only, I mean, look at some of these extended mixes. They'll do extended mixes on things that aren't particularly remixes. I really like those.
Yep.
And they'll give you some extra beats here and there. And if you have the ability to loop things, the great thing, like if you can loop just a drum beat that's a hook and then go into your intro with that drum beat and then come out of it right away and go into that break and then smack into the intro verse chorus loop beat if you have to, do the same thing over again. I've done that a lot for like the hot mixes.
Yeah, I definitely think that's going to be, it's going to be something because you're getting the crowds that have, even the adults now are, we used to be that in our area, as an example, there was an oldie station, there was a country station, and there was a top 40 station, and that was it. Now there's five different versions of adult contemporary stations out here. There's different versions of country stations out here. And then you've got all the people who are not even listening to anything over air. They're listening to internet radio. Even my parents are moving towards listening to internet radio. So you've got all the people who are listening to all these different things, and some of those songs for a chorus, you know, second verse chorus, that's actually a fun little part of the song, but the rest of it might suck to the point where I wouldn't want to play the whole thing. Well, now by doing these quick mixes, I'm able to incorporate a lot of different songs from a lot of different genres in the course of a night. And I'm really hoping utilizing that's going to help to keep a wider variety of people engaged at the event. Oh no, we lost Brian. I guess we just lost him. Oh, I didn't even notice. As I'm looking at the video, he's been frozen for a while. See, I didn't even pay attention. He was frozen right there. So we'll give him a couple of moments and see if it was something. There's some nasty storms that have been going through the upper Midwest. For those of you who are outside of the area, Reggie's probably gotten to see a few of those roll through. But between Brian and our location, there were some massive storms headed through there, and there were some tornado touchdowns and ripping up some trailer parks and different things. So there has been some foul weather, so it could be something that's knocked out some electric on Brian's side there. So we'll give him a moment here to hopefully be able to pop back on and do that. So yeah, it's been kind of a cool thing with my proms. I had two proms the last couple of weekends, and I've talked about this on other show. Howie, what'd you do with Brian? But I've talked about the my proms over the years. It used to be like 5 years ago when we'd play a remix or something. Yeah, Brian, we just lost him. That we would have kids that were like, I want the radio version. And this particular last year, I did some mixing, and I was getting less of that. This particular year, I don't think I played a full song at either of my two proms that I just finished up the last weekend. It was getting in quick mixes in and out, and the kids were like all over that compared to in the past when we'd be doing a quick mix type of a thing, and the kids were like, oh, I want the full version. So I think the musical tastes are changing, and at weddings, they're probably not changing as quickly as the teenagers are, but it's going to be something that will be coming along down the road, not too terribly far. Are you back, Brian, fully?
I think.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
No, I continued just talking and prattling away, and then I looked at the YouTube version, which is 30 seconds behind, and it's like, oh, he was frozen for a little while there.
Why is he really still?
Yeah, it's like, wow, he's in really deep thought right now. I must be saying something really intellectually stimulating, and this is going to be
all in. Yeah,
saying no. John doesn't. John does sing a little bit, but not that much. Not that much. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting transition. We've gone from the rock star DJ type of MC entertainer, and yet there are still some weddings where that person is looked for. Don't get me wrong. It's not,
people do it. Yeah.
Yeah. The guys, Bill Herman, Jim Cerone, and people at that level who are known for their MC ability are still going to attract that person.
Sure. Now,
I just, in what I'm feeling and seeing is, I don't think that it's like that type of client, they've shrunk, not because of money at all. It's because I think that now we don't want the DJ to be the star of the show.
Right.
Or if we want the DJ to be the star of the show, I think we're going to see people who want to see like a Jason Janai, a guy who's up there mixing at such a high level and creating music on the fly, basically, that they can, they're like, yeah, we've got like a Vegas level DJ that's performing at our show. I mean, again, you go down to Vegas and you're up and down a strip and you're like, oh, there's another guy, all the big name DJs are finding their way into Vegas. You're not seeing as many Wayne Newton type performers in Vegas. You're seeing, big name guys. So that means we as DJs have to be getting ourselves prepared, learning how to entertain the next upcoming generations to our wedding events.
Yeah, crowd's changing. And what's, I've been fascinated by this whole retail bloodbath apocalypse thing that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Dead malls, completely fascinating to me.
Yep.
Sears closing, all of those things. And I've heard a lot of people who I'm not familiar with. I mean, they're motivational speakers or people who write books about business strategies and things like that, talk about some of the mistakes that they feel like Sears has made. One where they thought that they knew what the customer wanted better than the customer did. And they gave the customers a lot of things that they weren't asking for.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I can see that. They're financial services. And this is like, well, I buy my tools at Sears, but why would I buy my insurance there? I'm not sure that I do that.
Yeah.
And it's my brain, as damaged as it is taking these things in and flipping them into what I do. Yeah, I don't want to start doing things for my clients that they don't want.
Yeah.
They're not asking for it. What I want to do is exceed expectations on the level that they want me to play music for them. They want to dance. That's what they want.
Mm-hmm.
They need announcements made. I'm going to make those as clear and concise as I can without showboating and without making it the me show.
Yeah.
They want the attention on them. Their guests want the attention on them. The best man, the maid of honor want attention on them. That's what they want. So that's what I'm going to give them. They didn't hire a party clown. You know, and in the old days, we assumed that was the thing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm taking all these things in, you know, and I'm also looking at this whole mall thing where they're thinking, well, you know, the whole mall experience, a lot of people blame it on Amazon. They say, well, Amazon took the business. People don't want to go shopping anymore and things like that. Turns out that's not true. Turns out that 85% of all retail business is still done in brick and mortar shops. 85%. So, although everyone's shopping on Amazon right now, I do. I buy things on there almost daily.
Yeah.
Little things that I need for the house or whatever. 85% of all retail is still having a brick and mortar. They're still going to Kmart or not Kmart, but they're going to Walmart or they're going Target, to Kohl's.
Whatever Kohl's.
Or Depot or wherever they go. The problem is that these places like malls, like Sears, like everybody else, they're not adapting. They're not making things an experience for people.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they're doing the same thing they've always done, expecting everyone else to just get on board with it.
Yeah.
That's dangerous. You have to change with the times and you have to anticipate change. You can't just wait for a change to happen and say, oh, okay, I got to jump on board with that. No, you have to watch for it. You have to anticipate where things are going to go. And then you have to act. I think that's what I'm doing as a performer. I think I'm looking at this and analyzing and paying attention to what people want and giving it to them and not giving them crap they're not asking for. And again, no right or wrong here. This is, I'm not preaching. I'm just simply saying this is vital for any business that you're in to anticipate the change and kind of pay attention to the trends and things like that and react. React accordingly.
You're talking about different retail and the idea of creating an experience. And one way I was trying to think of there's some stores I just enjoy going to.
Yeah.
Because it's an adventure or an experience, you know, that I'm going to see something. That's really what I'm looking for. And, you know, an example for us, we don't have a lot of Lowe's in Minnesota, the home improvement stores, but there are a couple. And I enjoy going to Lowe's because I know there's going to be things in there I can't find anywhere else. And I can go and I can, you know, in essence, I'll walk through the whole tool display because I want to be surprised about what's there. And I think that's something as an entertainer that sometimes we get off base and we don't think about that musically and with our performance and how we mix and present our music, we can surprise people. We can create something that's a different experience than what every other DJ has.
Right.
There's a reason why I don't like to go to some grocery stores. It's because that's the exact same stuff that store has and that store has. And it's like, why do I need to go to 7 stores? I'll just go to one and be done. You know, Sears, I don't like going to Sears. Why is that? It's because beyond a Craftsman name, it's the same DeWalt tools that this store has. And it's the same that this, it's like, you know, carry a different version of it, if nothing else. Whereas for those of you who are familiar with Lowe's is that there's many, many items in Lowe's that are exclusive to them. And Home Depot has a similar situation.
Sure.
And then if you want, you know, an upper Midwest, if you want the really inexpensive knockoff brand, then you can go to Menards. I mean, each one has their little niche. But I look forward to going to Lowe's just because I know that there's going to be something new that I haven't seen before. And that's what we need to be doing as entertainers.
Just pay attention. Mm-hmm. Just don't wait for people to tell you what's going on. Mm-hmm. Pay attention to what's going on and anticipate change.
Mm-hmm.
Anticipate where things are going to go. Follow trends. I am almost 46 years old. What are you, John? 48 now?
Yep, 48.
Okay. We're not young kids, but we're both still relevant in this business. When I was 20 years old, a 30-year-old DJ might as well have been 100.
Mm-hmm.
It was so just obsolete because they couldn't adjust. They couldn't change with the times. They didn't understand why rap and hip hop may be a trend and why people weren't particularly always wanting to hear the entire Animal House soundtrack. And it was just, no, I'm almost 46, it'll be 46 Saturday. And dude, I'm killing it out there. I mean, I don't mean to ever say those kind of things publicly, but I am. I'm killing it out there. Mm-hmm. There are people out there much older than I who are killing it out there.
For sure.
Because they have changed with the times. They have anticipated change. They haven't just done the same show over and over and over again, expecting a different result. And I see this all the time. I've wrote articles about this for the Disc Jockey News. These DJs who are just like, oh, what do I do? I don't know. I can't get any gigs anymore. Well, duh. Come on, dudes. Do a different show.
Yeah.
Change it up a little bit. It's so important. And don't change it up just to change it up. Do something that's going to bring something fresh to the table. Mm-hmm. Do it for a reason.
And again, that is that same concept of why I want to add the quick mixes at my weddings this summer, is because I want to not only add a different element that people, you know, haven't seen before, because I want to make my entertainment options different than other DJs who are out there performing. I also want to challenge myself a little bit, because when you're doing quick mixes and that, and you're in and out and you're back and forth, it is more of a challenge. And I could sit there and, you know, push play and let it go and be bored out of my mind and still get a paycheck, and people would say, oh yeah, you did a great job. But I don't want that. I did that years ago, and then I got into the microphone side, and people would refer because of my ability to direct traffic on a microphone. But now that ability is still coveted, but they're not giving it the same value, because now anyone in the room, as you said earlier, Brian, would love to get that microphone so they could be on stage and be the star.
And we're giving it to them.
Yeah.
We're giving them the mic.
Yeah, exactly. It's no. Their day. They're the important people. And in most cases, you know, yay, we're giving it to them with the blessing. So now I have to do something to differentiate myself once again. And that is going to require mixing skills, playing, you know, knowing when and how to drop in some of the newer tracks, which we always have done that. But to be able to drop in a quick mix with a newer track in there, so I can still have grandma and grandpa or aunts and uncles involved. And you do that because now they're listening to the adult contemporary station, so they know the refrain and the first verse of that song, so they can still be engaged with as I go into something else.
Or maybe you want to just knock a whole genre out in 20 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
And walk away from it. That was like the medley thing. Remember the medleys?
Mm-hmm.
The first one I can ever remember hearing as far as medleys go was Stars on 45's Beatles medley.
Yeah.
So first one I ever remember hearing, where, I don't know, what they do an Archie song, and then they do like 7 or 8 Beatles songs in a 3.5 minute track.
Mm-hmm.
And I still love that song. In fact, after the show, I'm going to listen to it. Just there was an ABBA one. We used to do an Elvis one a lot from the DJ Tools. Remember the Elvis medley?
Oh, yes.
There were several. And I didn't play them all. They didn't all work. And then Bobby D did the Jock Jams thing, where it was a medley as well of a bunch of tracks that were hot at sporting events.
Did you ever, the Joan Jett Mega Mix, did you ever have that?
No.
Oh, that was a fabulous mix. Ultimix did that. They put it on one of their early, it was on album.
Yeah.
And they put it on one CD.
Okay.
And it was a double, it was like a year end or whatever it was, but it was only pressed on one disc. And that it started with Joan Jett. It went into there was We Will Rock You was in that. The Stroke was in that. AC/DC, You Shook. It's a fabulous. It's a fabulous version. And there are multiple versions out there that use the songs, but none of them were mixed as well as this particular track.
So it wasn't just Joan Jett.
No, it wasn't. It was.
I'm trying to figure out how many Joan Jett songs could people.
Yeah, it was just the I. It starts out with.
It's like the soft cell.
Who are you? What do you want to do with your life? I want to rock. And then it went into Joan Jett right away.
Gotcha.
Fabulous, fabulous mix and such. And at the time, we were the only ones who had it, because it was very tough to find. And even today, you won't find it unless you've it didn't make any of the compilations or anything. But yeah.
Sounds, I'm going to have to look it up. Sounds interesting. Yeah. But I'm sitting here trying to imagine 8 Joan Jett songs anyone's going to give a shit about at a wedding. Like, why are you playing this?
Exactly. Oh, gosh. When that came out, it was like, you know, again, a different time where music was tough to get. So you had something like that, and people are like, oh, my God, that's awesome. Where did you get it? It's like, oh.
We're going to play the Joan Jett Megamix, and then we're going to play the Tommy Two-Tone Megamix. Because he had so many hits, too, that everyone wants to hear at a wedding.
Yeah, let's put all.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
It's going to be amazing.
What other ones did Tommy do? It doesn't matter. We're going to put them all. It'll be awesome.
It doesn't matter. This guy was a roadie for Tommy Two-Tone. He did a song. We'll put that in there.
Exactly. We'll do everything.
Tommy Two-Tone. Who doesn't like Tommy
Two-Tone? And then Tiny Tim will wrap it all up.
Yeah, really. The Tiny Tim Megamix. It's just, I'm glad that you let me know that there was more than just Joan Jett in there, because I was really confused for a second.
Yeah, it was a good. I haven't listened to that in a long time.
Did you guys like the show tonight? I'm just really curious in the chat room. Did you get anything out of this? Was it just me ranting and interrupting John for an hour, or was it cool?
Yeah.
Because I really wanted to do this show. John will tell you, I wanted to do this show. This was my idea.
Yeah. So just let us know. Give us your thoughts a little bit, because sometimes we get accused of doing too many fluff shows.
I accused us of doing too many fluff shows.
Well, 2 weeks ago, actually, we had a couple of people that had messaged and said and it wasn't our regular viewers, so don't it wasn't anybody in the chat room. It was a couple of folks who popped in for the night and were expecting, you know, really heavy duty. That's why last week, early in the show, it's basically, if you're looking for heavy duty content, it ain't going to be tonight.
Tune out.
Yeah, no, exactly. You can leave now. You
know, we've committed to be here. You know, John, we were only supposed to do this for 2 weeks. You remember that?
That's right.
You like approach me like at NAMM or something, say, hey, I got an idea.
That's right.
Let's do Thursdays for 2 weeks, like starting at the last Thursday of, or 3 weeks maybe it was.
Yeah, it was a short time. And then.
Yeah.
Then we moved it back. And then all of a sudden we've only missed a couple in our time. And so, yeah, we're, goodness gracious, we've been doing this for quite a while.
But no, this was, I don't know, it's philosophy and just an idea. And just some things to think about. I mean, even if you take everything that I said and say, you know what, that's not for me, I don't want to do anything that Brian talked about, keep in mind that I don't expect you to. Yeah. Nor do I really want you to, because that's my thing. But what I do want, what I would like everyone to take away from this, if anything, is that we need to pay attention to our crowds, and we do need to anticipate change with our crowds. And instead of giving them what we think they want, got to give them what they really want. We got to figure out what they want. That's the fun part, because they don't even know. If you ask them, they can't articulate it. You got to pay attention to these people and figure out what they want. So that's where I was going with this tonight.
So I wonder if for a future show, because as we've been talking tonight, and specifically when you were talking about moving, transitioning from the formal dances into our open dance floor, or let's the formal dances into that first half hour to getting an active dance floor. I was thinking,
yeah, like it before you leave.
I bet there's at least 15 different ways I could think of different things I've done over the years, and a person could use these little, you called it like a mixer earlier, but there's other, you know, different tools that we've used or different processes of getting people involved early in the night. Mm-hmm. And I think we should put that as a future show where we could actually talk about and describe how, you know, the situation and how we would do some of the things. Because some people were asking about children, and children can be a great tool for getting a party kicked off, or they can be the kiss of death for the other part of your show. I mean, if you use them properly, they can be a great asset.
If you don't handle them right,
and if you end up fighting with them, yeah, you're going to have a long, long night.
Yeah.
So I think
I'll give you a taste of what I can bring to the table on this. There's just a taste of the kind of things we can talk about. You know how people do the anniversary dance? Most people are familiar with that.
Yep.
Where you're inviting the married couples onto the dance floor. And then I say this. I think it's hilarious. People love it. first thing I say on the microphone is, if you've been married for less than 4 hours, please leave the dance floor. So that just, you know, it's funny because the bride and groom got to leave if they got married that day. The client that I had at my last gig told me that although there will be several married couples at the event, there will also be several couples at the event who aren't married, but they've been together for 14, 20 years or whatever. And they also had a lot of gay couples there who hadn't done it.
Oh, sure.
But they've been together for many, many years. So they said, why don't we do something a little different? Let's do a couples dance. And I like that. So instead of saying, if you've been married for, it was simply, if you've been together for less than, but everyone was able to come out that way.
Very nice. A nice touch. I've not thought about that from that angle. Look at that. So I learned something.
It was really nice.
Yes.
So there's a little nugget, the kind of stuff that we can talk about in the show where we talk about some of the special dances and tools that we can use to get people on the floor.
We'll call it wedding tools.
You call it wedding tools, you call it party tools. Because I did the mixers, actually, I remember doing those at corporate events. And I remember specific repeat business that I got where they specifically asked for because they really enjoyed it.
Oh, corporate mixers. There was so many cool ideas with that. Oh,
yeah.
Used to be able to. I miss those days because there was always a stretch when you would work with the same client year after year. And they'd be like, okay, we want to do something fun. We want to get people up and want to get them moving and we want to connect them. What can you do? So you have to come up with something new every year. And
right.
Oh, there were so many fun things.
The cool part about those repeat customers were that you didn't have to win them over every year. They knew you were cool already.
They just,
John's back.
Yeah. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it.
Dude, and they all come out right away because you've already qualified yourself the last four Christmas parties that you did for these people.
Precisely.
So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Good stuff. We'll put these on the agenda for a future show. Once again, thank you for watching on Facebook Live or YouTube Live. If you are with us yet, please click the like on the video. We'd really appreciate that. And we'll be back again next week. Good night, everybody.